superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Are you
this
in?
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sane.
Deep left field, ball going, ball gone for Manny Machado.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bellinger going back to the wall. He leaps and makes a spectacular catch.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Blows a kiss over to Manny Machado, who didn't like him throwing the glove.
Nothing upsets me more than dumbass crap.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Still to come, Grammy Award winner Jon Bon Jovi. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on this Thursday. Michael Kay, our buddy from New York City and the Michael Kay Show and the voice of Yankee baseball for so many years on television. We'll just catch up with him on a day where Jon Bon Jovi is going to join us. I think Michael will have a lot to say with the conversation we just had, who's on the Mount Rushmore of New Jersey music, and Del Tufo, yeah, who is our resident music expert and our resident New Jerseyite, said Sinatra, Springsteen, Bon Jovi, and Whitney Houston.
Yeah, that's mine.
And then, you know, the story of I guess this is kind of like that Cheers episode where the answer to the Jeopardy question, yeah, was...
Who was?
Where three people have never been in my kitchen.
Right. Right. A great Cliff Clavin answer.
And he bet it all in Final Jeopardy.
Of all the people that Mike Del Tufo would say that he's crossed paths with, he said it was Whitney Houston in high school, who was part of a lip-sync contest in which...
Or a talent group.
I'm walking people through it. This is what's called resetting the scene at the top of an hour. So that he says he beat her in a lip-sync contest when they were both in the same high school area in New Jersey. And then upon further questioning, said he was the one lip-syncing. It was just a talent contest. He does not recall what talent she was professing or what their group that she was part of was professing in terms of their talent. But we all know, just based on everything that we have seen from both people involved in the equation, whatever Whitney Houston was doing in terms of talent, how does Mike Del Tufo beat her lip syncing? I mean, that's not even feasible in pitch perfect land. I mean, like, you can't even come up with it. Well, that was just a great conversation. Again, Jon Bon Jovi, hour number three. And then we have Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the National Football League, carving out 15 minutes from his busy day at a very crazy time in the NFL to answer some questions about what is going on and what is being done to prevent it from spreading, certainly even further in Tennessee, so on, so forth, and so on, as week five kicks off tonight. Now, tonight, we're going to hear a lot about Brady and Foles. The answer is obvious. Chris Brockman, I hope you are steeled. You are ready. You are prepared to see a lot of Philly special video tonight.
Yeah.
Okay? I would suggest maybe you...
tune in like right at 5:15?
Well, I mean, I believe Fox and will roll in that at some point during the broadcast.
All right. Maybe I'll put it on the
you
small
were there.
TV.
We watched actually, we're not together. I was with the Marriott people in their suite when that happened. I left you alone in the commissioner's box.
I was
box.
With...
You're my plus one.
I profusely apologized to Steve Young. I was bothering him the whole game. So I was watching that moment with Steve Young and Chris Berman.
In Commissioner Roger Goodell's suite.
In the commissioner's suite.
Chris Brockman was my plus one. And to which, if I'm not mistaken, you are a Red Sox hat. Did you not?
Red Sox hat, Patriots t-shirt.
Patriots t-shirt is fine. The commissioner has no problem with Patriots t-shirt. But your
Red Sox hat. I was full.
Did Goodell say something to you about the Red Sox hat?
No, he at one point during the fourth quarter, I was just pacing around and he looked at me and goes, "Nervous?"
Fantastic. Yeah. And again, that is who he is, by the way. That is who
he is. Big fan of Roger.
But as somebody who's had a team forfeit a draft choice over ball pressure, not a fan of the commissioner.
Not a fan of the commissioner, Goodell.
But you can separate the two.
I can separate the two. He's a great guy. As a guy.
Got it.
Got it.
Get ready to see Philly special stuff tonight. But here is a fascinating storyline that I'm sure the broadcast will pull out and thread out. That Bruce Arians, on the sideline in Tampa, as a two-time coach of the year, coaching Tom Brady, the only other coach to be a head coach in the NFL other than Belichick for Tom Brady, at a crucial part of Brady's career. After what he did in Indianapolis the first time he was there with Peyton Manning, and then Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. It is truly a remarkable, as we know, pairing, a fascinating pairing in the 2020 season, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Coordinating against them tonight is the guy who called Bruce Arians in his car ride home with his wife that he told us about on our podcast years ago, Chris, after the Steelers announced his quote-unquote retirement from the NFL. And he got a phone call on the way home saying, okay, you say we're hearing you're retired. If you're not really retired, do you want to come and be the offensive coordinator for me here? That person was Chuck Pagano, who, as we all know, was the coach there with Andrew Luck and Bruce Arians when Pagano became ill and had to step away to fight cancer, into which Bruce Arians stepped into that void and had one of the most remarkable coaching seasons ever by keeping a team successful, by helping a young quarterback mature and progress, while also just merely keeping the seat warm for the head coach and not having any sort of issues of the power struggle or anything like that. We may never see again an interim head coach win coach of the year. And Arians was headed for home when that phone call went off. And who's there now back healthy, thank goodness, in a pandemic, coaching in a pandemic, as the defensive coordinator tonight is Pagano. And he's coaching for a coach of the year in Matt Nagy, making a big decision by going to Nick Foles instead of the kid who he needs to bring along because the general manager traded up to go get him instead of Mahomes and Watson, as we all know. It's a big move by Matt Nagy to send Trubisky back to the bench and put Nick Foles in there. And if Foles doesn't make it cash, that's a big problem for the Chicago Bears. And who can make that a big problem for the Chicago Bears tonight to force that offense to go point for point is Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Fascinating story tonight. With two franchises that come in the game at 3-1 in this 2020 season, in which the NFC appears to be wide open. Wide open. And if the offense cannot pull its weight tonight, the defense has to, and the coordinator of that defense again is Chuck Pagano. We can go over and over and roll it over as much as we can. I feel like I'm kneading the dough and we're putting it in the oven, and tonight it's going to be a great, great week five tasty treat between the Bucs and the Bears, and I'm looking forward to it, man. Certainly since both teams are healthy on the COVID front, knock on wood if you're with me, and we could use that diversion with the NFL tonight, go down that rabbit hole as we're wondering about other teams and the viability of moving forward as a healthy league. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Bob in Ohio has something to say to me, and I have a feeling I know what it is based on what I bade farewell to Albert Breer with. What's up, Bob?
I want to talk about Joe Burrow's, the quarterback for the Bengals.
Yes, sir.
And Joe Nixon, they're going to make a wonderful pair. Also, I felt like the downfall of the offensive line was when they got rid of Whitworth.
Yes, that he's been terrific out here in Los Angeles, still playing at a high level. And, you know, we had Carson Palmer on yesterday, Bob, and he echoes the sentiments that I think everybody with a pair of eyes can see, which is Burrow's for real, man. And he's tough, and he's already gaining respect. And he might be a problem for more teams than just the Jaguars this year.
I think he will be. Also, they still need some offensive linemen. They can't forget about that.
I appreciate the call, Bob. Thank you. I thought he was going to take me to task for saying that Ohio State's not able to claim Joe Burrow, the professional football player.
Just excited about Joey B.
They can talk about Joe Burrow as a student athlete because he's a graduate of the Ohio State, and they could talk about him being the kid from Athens. A pride of Ohio. Absolutely. You are able to own Joe Burrow for that. But in terms of saying, oh, yeah, that's a Buckeye out there. Oh, no. Oh, no. Tonight I'm able to say that's a Wolverine out there. Even though the Wolverine lost his starting gig when he was a Wolverine to Mr. Everything in Michigan, Drew Henson.
That guy was...
I was at a game in your Carrier Dome, Christopher, with my future brother-in-law, Scott Schuster, Syracuse Orange man. And we watched Brady and Henson switch quarters.
I think we were at the same game. We were at the same game.
You were at that game, too. That's right.
Yeah, 99.
Brady and Henson switched quarters.
I remember, pregame, we sat in the end zone next to the tunnel, and Brady and Henson was doing their pregame jog, didn't even pay attention to Brady. We were booing Henson.
Because that's the guy you were worried about.
Yeah. Didn't care about number 10, booed number 7.
Let me ask a question, because again, my history could be a little bit fuzzy. Did Brady say to Lloyd Carr, I want out of here, and then call up whoever was the coach of Louisiana State football and say, you got a spot? Did he
no.
do that?
No, I don't believe so.
No, I don't think he did that.
No, I know Brady didn't go on to win a Heisman Trophy and throw 60 touchdown passes and win a national championship for Michigan. But is he considered the GOAT of the National Football League, right?
He is. Yeah.
Okay, and part of that born out of how he faced adversity, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And am I able to take this helmet, the Spazen blue helmet, and place it in front of me and claim Tom Brady as my own? Am I allowed to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, great. Right,
that would have been Jerry DiNardo was 95-99 at LSU, and then Hal Hunter was the interim coach.
Hal Hunter, everybody.
For one, Hal
Hunter
coached the bowl game.
Hal Hunter sounds like a director from Boogie Nights. I'm not going to lie to you.
Jerry DiNardo.
Is that a Hal Hunter production?
That's funny. Jerry DiNardo took a year off, and then you know who took over in 2000? Nick Saban.
Yep. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Tom Brady did not do that.
Am I stirring it up right now?
Did not.
You are.
Did not.
I don't think I can stir it up nearly as much as Norman from Pittsburgh is about to attempt. What's up, Norman?
Norman.
You there, Norman? You're on.
Hi, Rich. Longtime fan. I talked to you one other time.
Okay.
I'm probably not going to make any favorites today, but I really dislike Bruce Springsteen. I've seen him a few times. One time I was even in a dance, and they were giving away albums, and I gave it to somebody else. I think Southside Johnny, who I've seen probably 4 or 5 times in Atlantic City and a couple times in Pittsburgh, is a lot better performer and doesn't get the credit.
So, Norman, are you from New Jersey or are you from Pittsburgh?
I'm from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But I just, in fact... You said you're going to have John Bon Jovi
on.
Or,
I am, yeah. Yeah, coming up.
I think one time there was a statement in the paper, he wished he could have been a member of the Juice. I mean, even though he was popular himself, that's the band.
Okay, so what do you got against Bruce? What's your problem, Bruce?
I just think he was like a fabricated performer. I think they just built him up because I saw him from the beginning. And I think they wanted him to be a star.
All right.
He reminded me of... Years ago, after Elvis died, there was a guy named Bruce Schnell. I never heard of him. They tried to do the same thing with him, but it didn't work with him.
All right, Norman, thank you. I'm sorry his phone was breaking up. It began to sound like Norman was auto-tuning his hate of Bruce Springsteen right there. And
If you don't like Springsteen.
But who doesn't like Bruce, though?
A lot of people. I've heard people rip him apart.
Why?
They just don't like him.
Born in the USA? Bruce was, as you know. All right.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm about to Bruce Stan here from Staten Island, New York. But I don't know. Bruce was a rock and roll superstar from New Jersey, right? But he was New Jersey's own, right? New Jersey's own.
Yeah.
He became America's own with Born in the USA when I was in high school.
Yep.
That was an anthem. That was an anthem for the entire United States of America.
And that tour,
working class, working man,
blue collar.
Like, who looks at Bruce and goes, "Nah, not for me." And then if you ever see him in concert,
I'll tell you what.
Who puts more into it?
Springsteen will go for 4 hours.
Yeah.
He's got more energy than anyone I've ever seen.
If he leaves after 3 hours, it's just like, man, I got gypped. From the last time I saw him, when he went for four, you know,
a Springsteen concert is as good as the best sporting event I've ever seen in person.
That's a great, fantastic way to put it.
He does not disappoint. Yeah. He'll do what he was supposed to do, or the idea of his concert.
Yep.
And then he'll do all the hits afterward for another 2 hours.
Susie and I saw him in Atlantic City, I think, in the convention center.
Yep.
Now, I know, I guess, what the old Meadowlands would be, what the ultimate, or Asbury Park would be Ground Zero.
Saw him rehearse Born in the USA in the Pony.
I mean, but just seeing him in the state of New Jersey was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
The convention hall I've seen him at the Pony, Meadowlands, Garden.
Well, you've seen him more than anything else.
Garden. I mean,
Garden is.
He loves the Garden.
Who doesn't? I used to. Don't get me down.
We won't. Well, the only time I ever saw Springsteen, I only saw him once. It was at the LA Sports Arena.
He closed it down.
5 years ago, closed it down.
Correct.
He was doing the River, so he played the whole River album and then played all of the hits afterwards.
He closed down the other. And that's another thing.
It was incredible.
He doesn't want to play the big spots. That's why he chose. He could have chosen Staples.
He could have done the Coliseum.
He went to the LA Sports Arena. Is that right, Don? He opened up Staples and never played it again.
Amazing. He's the best.
He opened up.
It'd be a legend.
He opened up the Meadowlands, like the original, the Byrne Arena, which is.
Did you reach out to him for your 50th?
Let me tell you something right now.
You would have given him the highest of possible laminate.
Oh, he would have been in the
third tier. Third tier VIP.
I would have played a Springsteen set, DJ, and.
No, you didn't even try.
Springsteen in a small venue, like at the Pony, is unbelievable.
Of course.
The guy's just
incredible.
His shirt is literally soaking with sweat from the energy he puts into it. Anyone that would even sit there and say that he's not.
Nothing.
Bon Jovi isn't there. I mean, that group is just as good live.
That's right. He did. He called the Sports Arena the dump that jumps. He closed it down.
Yeah.
Closed it down. Better him than Ola Candy, right, brother? Sorry.
You can't just let me go.
Shots. I mean,
you just can't let me live. You can't let me live.
Piotrowski.
Piotrowski.
We could have had Vince Carter, Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, my God.
And we took Michael Olowokandi.
Clipper wormhole. I just started a clipper wormhole.
Black hole. Black hole's not going anywhere.
We were told.
You know what? I probably need to get it out of my system.
Yeah.
Because we're about to be joined by the only man who James Dolan will allow himself to be interviewed by in New York City.
Uh-oh.
That's true. Kay.
Wow.
Kay interviews him. He shows up with his binder that says notes or whatever the hell it says.
Talking points.
That's similar to Aaron Rodgers using the words hard count for a hard count. You just show up, it says talking points.
Binder.
Amazing.
I love it.
And he would just come on the air and just go, talking points.
Talking points.
He wouldn't actually make a point. He would just get talking points. So I need to get it out of me because the gravitational pull will just pull me right in. And I'm going to go there with Kay because we go way back.
They have to.
We go way back.
Dirk Nowitzki could have been a Clipper.
Roll your break. This man needs a hug if we needed to be socially distant.
We even pick him.
Michael Kay will be joining us next. And then right after him, the chief medical officer of the National Football League, Dr. Alan Sills. Don't go anywhere. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, GEICO can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to GEICO and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. NBC Sports on Peacock, audience, we welcome back you right here on the program. We are on every single day from 12 to 3 Eastern Time, right after Dan Patrick, right before Brother from Another. And then we've got Florio starting the day, Florio ending the day, the Florio Flauta, right? That's the way one of our listeners called it. Very good. I would say to get Peacock, but we're talking to people who are watching us on Peacock. But for those listening to us on SiriusXM, please get Peacock. PeacockTV.com is how you can watch us on desktop. And you can also get the app where all apps are gotten. It's free. You just sign. You know what? Go to @RichEisenShow, our Twitter feed. We've got a handy-dandy tutorial. I would think it's actually entertaining to watch.
I enjoyed it.
I appreciate you saying that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we've got a way for you to go ahead and watch us every single day. And it's great. As Peacock has got a new news channel. There's so many different ways to watch us there. Jon Bon Jovi is going to be joining us later on. And later on, he's got a new album called 2020, which is one of the few things about 2020 that I like about 2020, to be very honest with you. The great Jon Bon Jovi will be joining us later on in the third hour. Dr. Alan Sills later on in this hour. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We'll be back with the radio audience in just a quick second right here. We're all back together as a family. Back here on the Mightier 1090 and the rest of the Rich Eisen Show radio listening network. Okay, so look, the Yanks were up 1-0, and they've lost the last two to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Jets are going to start Joe Flacco, something we didn't talk about yesterday, and I'm appreciative of you not bringing it up.
Well, you kind of took over the news update, so I couldn't get to it.
That's all right. But the Giants don't stink on nearly as much ice as the Jets.
It's a good amount of ice.
There's a lot going on. And, you know, having this man call in, because I adore him and I've been a longtime friend of him, he's also much cheaper than seeing a psychiatrist. You know, the host of the Michael Kay Show locally in New York City, which is the number one rated sports talk show in that great city, and also the longtime voice of the New York Yankees and a longtime friend, Michael Kay, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Michael, help me. Help me, please.
Well, the fees have gone up, Rich.
Wow. I did not know that. I get your ratings. So it matches your ratings? Is that what you're saying? Is that how it works?
I just think, you know, postseason, bigger problems, bigger price.
Okay.
Seems fair.
Oh, what do we start with first? I didn't even bring up the fact that you talked to James Dolan, and by proxy that just pisses me off.
That was such a long time ago.
You know what? You're the only one you let talk to him, you know? So, I mean, and you hold him to account, God bless you. So, all right, let's go with the Yankees first here.
All right.
A major conundrum on their hands. It looks like the Rays are a better team, Michael. Is that a fair assessment to say?
Yankees have more talent. The Rays might be a better team. I think this thing all unraveled, and it's not over yet, but it all unraveled when they just got too cute by a half. With the stunt they pulled in Game 2. You don't need to do that. You just don't. The Rays have done the opener situation because they don't have enough starters. I mean, either the Yankees don't like their starters or don't trust them, but they have starters. So I didn't understand that. Paul O'Neill on the Yes Post game yesterday actually said that move might have unsettled the entire roster. Why do we have to do this against this team? We just destroyed them in Game 1. We destroyed two really good Indian pitchers in the first two games of the playoffs. What are we doing this for? And yesterday might have been a hangover from Game 2. So I said after Game 2 that if they end up losing the series, that will be the reason why. That everything just unspooled after that.
So, I don't know, I added you on Twitter, and you're a busy man. I don't know if you saw my take on it, that it was anti-Yankee. The Yankees don't do openers. The Yankees take your starter, pay him $200 million to be their number two starter in the playoffs. That's what the Yankees do.
And I did see that, and I said this on my radio show, which is almost along the same lines.
Yes,
you know, game two happens.
Yes.
And they essentially... It would be like Mike Tyson climbing into the ring against Pee Wee Herman. And then, just as the fight's about to start, he goes, wait a minute. We have to play Jeopardy. We're not fighting. Let's play Jeopardy.
Yes.
Why would you do that? Why do you need to do that? And this is not disrespect to the Tampa Bay Rays, because, as you said, they're a very, very good team. But the Yankees are a fully operational Death Star, according to Brian Cashman, and you have to play cute games with Davey Garcia and Jay Happ. And the best thing that came out of that was a story in the Times by Tyler Kepner, and he dug up a quote from Hein Bloom, who used to be a member of the Tampa Bay Rays staff, and he said, the only way the opener works is if you get everybody to buy in completely. If they don't buy in, then it mitigates whatever advantage you might have. Well, it's clear. Jay Happ didn't buy in. Yeah, he did it, but he told them he didn't want to do it. So if Jay Happ, the 37-year-old, doesn't buy in, why are you doing it?
So why did they do it?
I think they got too cute by a half, and the juice wasn't worth the squeeze to me. I think, first of all, Davey Garcia could have given you four or five innings. I believe that Jay Happ could have given you a representative outing. I think the reason they did it was they felt, let's start Davey Garcia against a team that became the first team ever at the end of the year to start nine lefties in the lineup. Let's get them to do that, and then we'll bring in Happ, and we'll force them to flip the lineup. But again, you're not dealing with dunces. You can't be the smartest guy in the room when Albert Einstein's in the corner sipping a daiquiri. You just can't. This is a really smart organization, so they read through what was happening. They never flipped their lineup, and moving to Happ actually burned them because you turned the catcher into a power hitter, and then Manuel Margot later on also hit a home run off of Happ. Everything that could have gone wrong with that maneuver went wrong.
Michael Kay here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you have also interviewed Larry David, like we have here on this show, so you know the concept of when you say with all due respect, that does allow you to say something thoroughly disrespectful after that. You called the Rays a sinuous, you basically called them the Pee Wee Hermans of baseball, but then said with all due respect after that. That's not going to fly, Michael. You need to say it first and then call the Rays the Pee Wee Hermans of baseball.
I like to do things a little bit
understood.
Different.
Understood.
Yeah. But that's what I'm about.
So does that make a Rosarena the Paul Rubens view of this Pee Wee Herman equation? Because this guy is
after the theater incident.
I mean, this guy, I mean, you know what? If this was old school baseball, would this guy already have one in the chops right now? I mean, it's unbelievable what he's. This kid is amazing. He is on fire right now.
And when you see what he's done, and then Luke Voit led the majors in home runs,
right?
And the Cardinals are a little short on offense. You wonder, an organization that usually makes pretty good decisions, all due respect, did not make good decisions with these two.
Very good. Michael Kay, you definitely know how to workshop and step up your game. There's no doubt about that. All right. So I guess moving on then, the Jets are, as you know, my favorite team growing up. And I do talk about it here quite a bit, not just because of the name of the show, but what's happening there to me is a national story, because if they wind up being first overall, there is going to be and man, they're earning it. And I don't know if Flacco is going to start finding people in a more efficient way than Darnold had been in the last four games. And that Greg 3G Williams is going to have his guys, you know, let's just say cut the personal foul penalties in half. Let's just even go that. And that it's going to work out well against Kyler Murray and Arizona. You see Arizona right in front of you this weekend. And they took a guy from the Pac-12, as we know. And they said he's our future. And then they got the first overall pick and spiked the whole plan. Do you think the Jets would do such a thing? And I know we're way ahead of the story, but the Jets look terrible. Michael, what's the talk in New York about on this front?
Everybody that we've had on my radio show said they have to take Trevor Lawrence, including Mike Tannenbaum. And Tannenbaum's a fan of Darnold. So I also believe if this guy is as good as they say, and everybody that we've spoken to uses the same comparison, the best quarterback to come out of college since Andrew Luck. So if he is in fact that, Sam has not shown enough over the 2+ years to tell you that he is definitely the guy. Now, he has not been, quote-unquote, raised the right way. He has not been surrounded with the right people. But if Lawrence is all that, I think you've got to do that, and I'm sure you'll find some takers for Sam Darnold. You're not going to get back what was essentially the third pick in the draft for him, but you can cut your losses a bit. Now, if you want to go around building the other way, then I guess you could get a Herschel Walker sort of deal for the number one pick, and the Jets certainly have a lot of holes. But Sam has to prove a lot more by that point. And, you know, if they have the worst pick in the draft, then he didn't prove much. But my question to you, Rich Eisen,
yes,
big Jet fan.
Yes, sir.
What happens if Joe Flacco has a great game and they actually win this week?
Now, when you say this, are we talking planet Earth or what other place are we talking about?
We're firmly on planet Earth. So he has a really good game and they win. And then Sam's shoulder is better and ready to go. Adam Gase is on a week-by-week job security tour. Does he keep playing Joe Flacco?
Is Chandler Jones playing this weekend, Michael? And Mekhi Becton's not even practicing? You know, I mean, please. You know, the way that I saw, if the team that I've been seeing play, the one that showed up in Indianapolis, the one that on a short week watched Brett Rypien do his thing, and then when he couldn't do his thing, the Jets bailed him out with 6 personal foul penalties. I cannot imagine that Joe Flacco is able to find a Jamison Crowder when everybody else knows that's who he's going to be looking for. It strains the possibility here, but
don't want to play the home version of the hypothetical.
No, I will play the home version. I will do that. I will do that. I will play this with you. Whatever the Jets need to do to get that first overall selection, they have to do. And it kills me to say that because the times that I have met Sam Darnold, to call him a dream come true and a face of a franchise is an understatement.
He's great.
He is beyond great. He so deserves better than a team that changes coaches up and then has that coach swallow the free agency signing of Le'Veon Bell, only to have the general manager who makes that decision conduct a draft, then get fired, then have the coach handle matters until the general manager is hired, and then that general manager waits another full calendar year to jettison the best defensive player that they have prior to a COVID season in which their second best defensive player in Mosley opts out, and you trade them away for draft choices, leaving the evaluation of the quarterback, which is the most important thing, completely wide open to the injury bug, which has bitten them. So putting it all together, I think this is a total mess that deserves whatever needs to happen to turn this into Rich Kotite on steroids. And if that means the Jets lose all 16, it'll be tough. But they've got to do it, whatever they have to do. How does that sound?
It sounds great. It sounds like the football version of Phil Jackson selecting Frank Ntilikina and then getting fired a couple of days later.
Now, was that in Dolan's talking points binder that he brought to the set with you when you interviewed him, Michael?
I believe it was.
Was that in there?
Was that before the Phil Jackson firing? I think it might have been that. I think it was in his talking points.
It all bleeds together. What is it like having the most hated man in New York stroll into your studio with a binder that says talking points on it, Michael? What would you think when you saw that interviewing Dolan a couple years ago?
I've got to tell you, Rich, and I don't think this is what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually spent time around him off the air.
Yes.
He's kind of like a decent dude.
Well, I don't say he's a horrible human other than the way that he does act. But other than that, I mean, oh, boy. Really?
He's got really good. I mean, at that time, he had a really great person that was, like, running interference with the media. And I looked at the guy, and why are you letting him? First of all, does he know this is on camera? People are going to see that, you know. It just didn't make a lot of sense. But, again, he got the points out that he wanted to get out, but I don't think that they really helped him. They didn't serve the purpose.
Well, look, in the few minutes I have left with you, Michael, we've got John Bon Jovi on in the third hour. Where does he rank for you, being from the New York metropolitan area? Where is he?
Well, he was on Center Stage. He's one of the top Center Stage guests.
Fantastic.
He's one of the nicest people. Can I tell you a quick story?
Please.
We had him on Center Stage, right?
Yep.
and he was great. And then they started the Arena Football League, which he had owned the Philadelphia Soul.
Right, yes.
And they had a big a reveal at a Manhattan club. So me and the guys from the show, it was like 2 years after we had him on center stage, and I'd never had contact with him after that. And we all went to the thing just to get free food, and they all bet me $10 that he would not know who I was.
Okay.
And I said, well, all right, I don't think he will, but, you know, I'll bet the $10.
There you go.
And we're just standing there in the hall, and he's walking around, like, greeting people. And he comes by and goes, Mike, how you doing, bud? He goes, boy, people love that center stage that we did. That's the kind of guy John Bon Jovi is.
Now, that, you have to collect double for that. Not only did he know who you were, he referenced exactly how he knew you and the reaction. He gives you what you want, which is not only recognition, but to hear how good of a time that he had. You've got to collect double or triple from that.
The only other guest who did that, well, Larry David and I have become kind of friendly.
Yes.
But the only other guest who did that after a long period of time of not seeing him was Snoop Dogg. 5 years after he was on center stage, he's walking by with his group of friends at a Super Bowl party, and he stops. He goes, this dude did the best interview with me I've ever had in my life. I can't imitate Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
That Snoop Dogg was the only other guy. So Snoop Dogg and John Bon Jovi.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, Michael, but he told me the same thing after the Super Bowl. I'm sorry to say.
Really? Maybe it was after a little boobange. I'm not sure.
One of the many reasons why I love you, Michael Kay. Best to your family and your beautiful family that I see on occasion on your social media. And let's chat soon. Congrats.
And same to your family, too. Great to talk with you.
Right back at you. Congrats on everything with you, sir. That's Michael Kay, who I have known forever and a day. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, there's breaking news about the Tennessee Titans. Apparently, according to Tom Pelissero, because I want to get to this now and get to break before Alan Sills joins us, the chief medical officer of the NFL, apparently, multiple practices for the Titans are being investigated by the NFL and Players Association, not just workouts involving skill positions, per sources. Oh, my word. This is serious business, man. And I'm telling you, like, the league is going to come down and come down like the proverbial ton of bricks if this is, in fact, the case. Multiple unauthorized workouts. What are you doing? And then who knew about it? And then again, Dr. Alan Sills, I'm imagining, is not part of the investigative arm. He's part of the, when are we going to get an actual literal shot in the arm portion of everything. So we'll talk to the chief medical officer of the National Football League, Dr. Alan Sills, paging Dr. Alan Sills next on the Rich Eisen Show. And then more of your phone calls and John Bon Jovi still to come.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, back here on Peacock, and our radio audience is going to rejoin us in about 60 seconds time, and that's when we'll get to the chief medical officer of the NFL, Dr. Alan Sills. Not many people in the NFL or associated with the NFL have to do surgery prior to calling into a show or anything like that. But
flex.
Well, or there might be, I guess, figurative surgery to the schedule, but like we're talking about actual real deal stuff. So, and then your phone calls at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial right here on a day where we're excited about week five kicking off between the Bucks and the Bears. I laid out some great storylines from it. Bruce Arians and Chuck Pagano going to be dueling wits offensively and defensively. And it was Pagano's call to Arians that got him back in the league and got Arians' career back rolling. And look where he is now with Tom Brady. So we'll hit more on that. Chris Brockman's news update and more right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock, Sirius XM. And back here now on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. And we're pleased to have on the program once again a very busy man. So we're appreciative of the minutes that we're about to get with the chief medical officer of the National Football League, Dr. Alan Sills. How are you, Dr. Sills?
Hey, I'm doing great, Rich. How are you today?
I'm better for talking to you and greatly appreciative of the time. I know you've got a lot going on and a lot updating going on. So, look, I'm not going to ask you about what you thought about the Tennessee Titans and the reports about them practicing. There's an investigative arm for that in the NFL. What does the fact that a team tests negative for two straight days after testing positive en masse or a large amount doing it, and then there's more tests of positive after that. What did the tests tell you about what might have happened in Tennessee, Dr. Sills?
Well, I think anytime you have a positive test, Rich, you're always trying to understand what transmission might have occurred, where there might be exposures, and where there could be ongoing transmission. And we know that anytime somebody's exposed to COVID, it's not as if you become infected immediately, or maybe I should say more importantly, do you become infectious to others? There's an incubation period where the virus lives and starts to replicate in the new person. And then at some point that person will test positive. They may or may not develop symptoms. As we know, not everybody develops symptoms. And then, of course, as their viral load continues to increase, they can actually shed virus and become infectious to others. So anytime you have a positive case, and certainly when you have multiple positive cases, you're trying to look to say, okay, when might transmission have occurred? What do these individuals have in common? When were they around each other? When were they exposed? And so I think that that's why it's been so crucial to get to the most accurate information possible to try to determine when those exposures might have occurred, because you don't want to let everybody get back together if you're concerned that there's still ongoing transmission or infected individuals.
So I guess, again, just connecting dots, if a team is told to stay away and then there's reports that they've actually had some unauthorized practices and they test positive after being told to stay away, that would set off an alarm bell just from the testing front.
Well, we know, as you said, that there's a lag time between when you're exposed to the virus and then when you'll test positive and then when we get those results and we go back and try to put those pieces together. So it's an evolving story, and it's one where we know also that once you're exposed, you may test positive at varying times. Not everybody tests positive, let's say, day two or day four. It can be up to 7, 8, 9 days before someone is testing positive. Most people, we think, at present, again, when I say we, not the NFL, the broader medical community,
yes,
we think most people, after they're exposed, probably are going to be infected enough to turn positive on a sensitive test somewhere in 2 to 5 days, but it can be a lot longer than that, and we've seen that happen.
So when we find, and this is one of the many reasons why I wanted to have you on, is so many fans, when they heard about Stephon Gilmore testing positive after the Chiefs and Patriots played a game, that it's possible, is it possible when that happens that he wasn't infectious on the field, or does that mean he was infectious on the field if he tests positive so close to testing negative and playing with a negative test?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one where we have to say we just don't know the answer definitively, but it is certainly possible. And here's why. Again, I refer back to the fact that these tests that we're doing, they're incredibly sensitive, which means they pick up very, very, very low levels of virus in the body. So, anytime you have a virus, it's going to start replicating. You're going to get more and more and more copies. And you have to get to a certain number of copies in the virus to become infectious to others, where you can spread it to others. But our tests, we believe, will actually pick that virus up even prior to that, when there's still these very low levels. Now, again, no one knows exactly the timeline on those. So I would just say you never want to assume that someone was not infected or infectious to others. But certainly with the sensitivity of our test, you know, if someone tests negative on a morning, are they infectious later that day? You know, the likelihood is low, but certainly not zero.
Now, I was talking to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated in the first hour, Dr. Sills, and he said that, when the concept of when the Patriots were going to play after Cam tested positive was based on a series of factors, including looking at videos of inside the facility and matching it up with the number of times Cam was close to someone else outside of the facility, based on inside the facility and matching it with videos of him being masked up. Can you walk me through the process of how you and the rest of the medical team goes about the concept of when you decide when somebody tests positive, if a game should be played or not? Can you walk me through all that?
Sure. So anytime, as I said, that you have a positive test, you're going to look at the close contacts that may have been exposed to that individual when they were positive. So if someone tests positive on a certain day, we typically go back 48 or 72 hours and we look at, were there close contacts? And close contact information is gathered from several sources. One is these Kinexon tracking devices that everyone wears.
Yep.
So we know that everybody has those on, and we can look at who was around who and for what length of time. And so we clearly have parameters set up, again, using general public health guidelines about distance and time. And so that's one source of information. But you also want to look at other sources of contact and whether or not those fall into what I would call a high-risk category. Because, you know, Rich, if you and I are standing outside somewhere, and let's say we're 5.5 feet apart or 5 feet 10 inches apart, and we're both wearing a mask, you know, our risk to each other in that situation is probably relatively low. We're out of doors. There's a lot of air movement. We've both got a mask on. You know, we're at a pretty close approximation to 6 feet distance. But we could be inside together, let's say 8 feet apart, but in a fairly small room, and maybe we're eating a meal together and we're not masked. And that could be a higher risk exposure for us. So it points out the fact that not every contact is the same, and you have to look at each case individually. So as we look at an exposure, like you mentioned, we've got one player testing positive. We try to look at the tracking data, of course, first and foremost, but we also want to look at any close contact that might have occurred beyond that. And then lastly, when you mentioned video, what we're trying to get there is an assessment of how likely is everyone to have been exposed just in the day-to-day operations of the club. And so getting some assessment of whether people are wearing masks and whether they're being compliant with the protocols as best we can tell, that was an important part of that decision-making. So you basically take all of those factors together, and then you've got additional testing. Because, again, if someone else were exposed prior to that and is coming into that same wave of infection, you would hope to pick that up in the first several days as well. So that's kind of all of the information you take. And when I say you take, it's not just the NFL. Again, we have a panel of expert infectious disease doctors, epidemiologists, and all of us looked at that data and said, when do we think it would be safe to play a game? The last part of that I can tell you is that what didn't enter that calculation, what nobody talked about is, well, what is the TV schedule, or what about our, you know, competitive standings or this and that? You know, the football part of it, if you will, did not enter into the discussions about when it might be safe to play.
Dr. Alan Sills, NFL's chief medical officer here on the Rich Eisen Show, and the schedule. I mean, you know, we as fans, that's what we're focused on. Clearly, while you're doing the hard work, we're just focusing on when we can go back down the rabbit hole of not worrying about it, right? So, no, I'm serious.
Well, we'd all like to get to that point where we don't have to worry about this, unfortunately, we don't think that's going to be soon. And in the meantime, our challenge is the same we've set throughout, Rich, which is, how do we learn to live with this virus? How can we protect ourselves, mitigate risk, still try to have some semblance of our normal activity, and yet stay safe?
And no, I know the reason why I did bring it up in that manner is because this is what we're focused on as fans. And when we hear about what was going on with the Titans, and we knew that game was pushed to week 7, and then we hear one of the stars of the game tests positive, and then the streams do get crossed on a Monday night, but we didn't know that Sunday morning, after which we heard about a Saints player might be positive. He wasn't. So much conversation from many people saying, league should just stop. Should just stop for a week or 2 weeks, or bubble up. Is that on the table when you have these conversations, Dr. Sills?
Well, everything's always on the table, Rich. We've always said we're open-minded to whatever it takes to keep everyone safe. And so you certainly don't want to rule out any potential option. I just would say that you have to look at the totality of the experience and the risks that are involved and what the risk of transmission is. And we've been at this now about 10 weeks. We've had over really close to 500,000 tests now. You know, we've had about 84 players and staff test positive over those 10 weeks. And in the overwhelming majority of those cases, you know, there has not been transmission in the team, meaning we had one single case. That's happened over 60 times, Rich, where we had one person test positive, player or coach, and there wasn't transmission in the team. Now, we don't want to get comfortable with that, and we certainly don't want to say, look at us, wow, we're leading the pack here. What we have to say is that our protocols have been very effective in most cases. Obviously, now we've had an outbreak on one team, and we've got a second team of concern. But the point is we have to look at each case individually and look and see what we're able to accomplish. And I think all these protocols are only as good as the compliance. I mean, we can have it sort of like a game plan, Rich. You can have the best game plan in the world. If we don't go out and execute it well, we know it doesn't turn out well. And kind of to stay in that football analogy mode, you can have 10 guys on a play doing their job. If one person's not, the play falls apart. So all that to say that we're vulnerable when we're not at 100% on our protocols. We've said that 90% or 95% is a failing grade here. That leaves too much opening for this virus to get in.
So what you just said leads me to my final two questions with you then. First things first is obviously you would be the one to help set the protocols up for a bubble. Is there a plan like in a top right-hand drawer somewhere? Because it would require a ton of moving parts. And union, league, so much more. Is there a bubble plan somewhere in somebody's top right-hand drawer to pull out if necessary? You find it necessary?
Well, we've discussed bubble scenarios all the way back into the summer when we and the union together looked at that. I think I would just tell you a couple of things about a bubble. There's no absolute bubble. You've always got people coming in and out, not players and coaches, but, you know, service workers, support workers, and things like that, and that can introduce the virus. And being in a bubble does not change the basic need for all the other parts of the protocol. If you're in a bubble, you still must do masks. You still must do distance. You still must do hand hygiene. You still have to change all of these things. So it doesn't change anything on our day-to-day operations. The other thing I think you have to consider there, though, Rich, is not just the infectious disease, but what's the mental health and the emotional and behavioral health toll inside a bubble? When you're asking people to leave their families and isolate themselves for months at a time, that's a substantial challenge for emotional and behavioral health. And I think that's something that doesn't always get discussed, but I think it's an important part of the calculation. So you're always looking at what can you gain and versus what is the downside. So I would just say we have all those discussions. We continue to evaluate. But our focus right now is on the protocols, which largely have been working, and trying to make sure we're all following them as carefully as we can.
And then the last thing that you mentioned that, you know, in a team, it takes all 11, right, to matriculate a ball down the field, or all 11 to stop a team from doing that. And, you know, if one person doesn't do the job, then that's a problem. You know, not to call anybody out, but in the 2 minutes that we have left here, obviously the Tennessee Titans, something's up there. We saw a handful of Raiders, while they were trying to do some good for a charity, went out. We've seen some coaches get slapped down considerably because they're not masked up. What do you say to anybody in the NFL community that still needs a message on this front, Dr. Alan Sills?
Well, we've said that it takes all of us, and I think maybe Coach Tomlin, I heard him quoted yesterday, who said, when one person fails, we all fail. We're all in this together. But we also say this is hard. I mean, this is really hard. This is a relentless opponent, and as I said before, this virus only needs a small opening. And I think everyone has the best of intention. Everyone wants to stay safe. Everyone wants to keep their fellow team members and everyone in the environment safe. But it just takes that day-after-day sustained effort. And as a doctor, I know, you know, Rich, there are plenty of times that I give advice to patients and tell them, here's the right thing to do, here's what you need to do. It's just hard to follow that all the time. We all recognize that. So I think we have to give some grace to people to say, this is really hard, it's difficult to do it all the time. But really the only chance we have to stay safe, as I said, is to aim for that 100% compliance, to keep ourselves safe and to keep our team environment safe. And so we're going to continue to focus on tools that will help us do that. I know that the players, coaches, and staff are very committed, and we're in this together. This isn't about us being on the opposite sides. We have one common opponent here, and that's this virus, and that's uniting the entire NFL at this time.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dr. Sills. Greatly appreciate it, and keep doing what you're doing, and I'd love to have you back on as conditions warrant. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to do that, Rich. Have a great day.
You bet. That's Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the National Football League. I'm an epidemiologist on TV, I guess. You know, I'm trying to figure out, again, so it's entirely possible that Gilmore wasn't shedding virus on Monday Night Football, right?
Yep.
Possible?
I mean, you know, we don't know. I mean, like, we don't know. Like, we're, you know what I mean? Like,
to the naked eye, to us who don't know much, it seems unlikely. You know, a guy's out there for the full game. He's talking in Patrick Mahomes' face after the game. It seems unlikely that that would not pass the virus to these guys, but...
Unless he wasn't shedding it at the time.
Right.
That it's incubating in his body, but he's not shedding it at the time.
It's crazy.
But the honest answer is we just don't know, and that's why they're telling coaches, just because everybody's tested negative around you, mask up. Same thing could be the case right now about the president. Just because everybody's tested negative around you doesn't mean you're not going to get it. And just because if you're asymptomatic and your teammates have gotten it, let's not get together outside for a practice. Got to be so damn careful. We're trying our best here.
Yep.
Every day. Oh, boy. Well, I just wanted to get that information your way. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. John Bon Jovi, your phone calls, Chris Brockman's news update, and so much more in hour number 3 of this busy Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and more.